This is the Jaguars Scoreboard Show. Jaguars Scoreboard Show. JP Shadrick and Mike Dempsey look back at today's Jaguars game, as well as the rest of the NFL, and take your phone calls. The Jaguars Scoreboard Show is brought to you by Brooks Rehabilitation, Farrah and Farrah, Geico, Baptist Health, Ticket Exchange, and by Everbank. The Jaguars Scoreboard Show begins right now.
Welcome into the Scoreboard Show. Final score, 38-31. Buccaneers over the Jags. Jaguars fall to 1-4. The Buccaneers are 2-3. The Jags are coming back home after a three-game road trip. They lost all three, and they'll host the Houston Texans this Sunday at Everbank Field. J.P. Shadrick, Mike Dempsey, phone lines are open, 355-NFL-1, 355-6351.
No one's going to be happy. Nor should they be, right? I mean, JP, it's kind of what we talked about. You get one thing going, second half scoring. That's something we've harped on.
Yeah, you're right.
They come out, they score first couple drives of the second half. They end up putting up 17 points. I'm not saying, hey, forget about the bad stuff. I'm just pointing out, just when you fix one thing, or at least on today's occasion, you put up enough points offensively, ultimately, but mistakes, bad interception. That ball by Blake, he's got to know you cannot throw that pass in that circumstance. It's a tough pass anyway. He's throwing it off balance. He doesn't get anything on it. Gets picked off. Almost threw another one late, although at that stage of the game, they're having a go, so you can almost excuse it a little bit. But, you know, you get the turnover in your own end with Corey Grant. That leads to a touchdown immediately right there, and that's with the Jags holding a one-point lead at the time. So, you know, you get out of sequence, and once you put the Bucs up by a couple of scores or allow them to go up by a couple of scores, you're not stopping Doug Martin and Charles Sims all
that's
day,
right. Yep.
And you're not going to be able to stop him and get the ball back with a chance to win that game. And, you know, they go down. Give them credit for fighting. That's fine. You should fight in the night. You're paid to be a professional. You know what I mean? I mean, these guys, I'm not going to give them brownie points for fighting to the very end.
That's your job, right? Out of your team.
And they did that. And look, bottom line is it's not good enough, and you're finally starting to hear or see maybe Gus's positivity crack a little bit. Not that he's not happy. I'm saying he's allowing some frustration out right now that we haven't seen from him in the immediate aftermath of losses.
Because he's always very good about hiding that publicly.
Correct.
And protecting his team, and I'm sure he does that stuff behind closed doors. I'm sure he's got to be a different guy in that type of setting.
I saw some Jaguar media tweets that indicated he said in the post-game press conference in the larger setting that he chewed him pretty good after the game.
There you go. So I think that happens more than a lot of folks might realize. But in the end, today was really the first time we've heard that start to seep through his post-game comments publicly. So, hey, that's what 1-4 does when 1-4 comes like it has the last couple of weeks.
All right, we'll see what the level of outrage, enthusiasm, depression, anger, whatever it is today on the Scoreboard Show. Bring it to the table at 800-355-NFL1, 800-355-6351. And we'll start with Todd in Waldo here on the Scoreboard Show. Hi, Todd. What's on your mind?
Hey, how's it going?
Good. What's up, man?
Yeah, I'm just calling. I'm an old school Jaguars fan. Been there since Thunder and Lightning was on the scene. Freddie T, thank God for them. Glad they put us on the map. However, I think some changes need to be made. I don't think they need to get rid of Gus Bradley. I think we're really turning the corner. But I really do think we need to beef up our secondary. We have really no secondary. I haven't seen an interception, Lord knows, I believe since Aaron Beasley played in Jacksonville. Definitely our pass rush has to be taken care of. And you just need to quit making little mistakes. These are NFL players. They played in college. They should know better than what they're doing. I commemorate them for them toughen it out and do what they need to do. But they've lost two games that they have won. I ain't saying easily won or blown out the teams.
Understood.
They should have won this.
Understood.
Today. And excuses is running out. I don't really blame the coaching, but I hate to say it, and I don't like nobody's job being on the line, but some of those players and some of the starters, I believe it's time for them to pack up and move on out. I don't want to say no names.
Say the names. I mean, who are you upset? Because honestly, here's the thing, Todd. You get rid of these guys, which have been deemed the best at their position on the team. Where are you going to go?
Where are you going to go for players? Andre Branch.
Okay.
I believe Aubrey Jones should have started instead of Alu. I believe he should be starting in his place.
It's a different position. Avery Jones is a nose tackle. That's Roy Miller's spot. They'd rotate in and out.
Yeah.
Yeah, they don't play the same position.
I know, Roy Miller has been hampered with injuries and stuff. I believe he's still a good player, but he might be suited more for a backup role itself. You know, I mean, God forbid Dante Fowler getting hurt. I think he would have been the X factor this year. But, hey, things happen. You know, some things out of our control. But they definitely have to beef up that secondary. We got to get some headhunters in that secondary, man. We got to get some guys who know how to intercept that ball.
Todd, let me jump in. All right, appreciate the call, Todd. I think you got your point across. I'll disagree with the secondary today. Secondary was nothing close to being the cause of them losing this game today. Here's what Mike Evans did. Mike Evans had 3 catches for 41 yards. Here's what Vincent Jackson did. He caught 1 ball for 14 yards plus a 2-point conversion. 4 receptions for your starting wide receivers. It was Jameis Winston dumping it off to running backs. It's your linebackers that got killed today, and that's in part because Paul Posluszczuk's not in there. That's not an excuse for the rest of the guys. You got to make plays. Today was not a game on the secondary. I thought Devon House played outstanding football today, breaking up several passes intended for Mike Evans, and then he went out with a hip injury. Look, I'm not saying the secondary's been great all year. I'm just saying today it was far from the culprit, in my opinion, and I agree the pass rush needs to be better, but Dante Fowler Jr. isn't coming through this door until next year, and Cedric Marks hasn't been able to play. He was your most effective pass rusher last year. Ryan Davis pretty invisible today, but Ryan Davis has been pretty good. We know the pass rush is not sufficient, JP.
And that's not going to help if you start whacking guys from the team. You know, that doesn't happen midway through the season. They don't just grow on trees elsewhere. So if Branch isn't performing to a high level, and remember, it's still a week back from a knee injury and all that, well, you got to deal with what you have. Those are the cards you're dealt.
I understand it. If the feeling is you got to upgrade from Andre Branch, that's fine. Right, but you're not
going to try to do
right. But you're not just going to. You just can't say, "Oh, this guy needs to be on the street," because then what's your alternative? You don't have anything better behind him. You're just cutting off your nose to spite your face. I'm not saying the pass rush is a sore spot. There's no question about it. But at times today, I at least appreciate Bob Babich being willing to send more pressure. And at times it was effective today. Ultimately, not very effective because, in the end, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers started to sense when it was coming, and they were dumping it off.
That long
quick
screen pass.
Quick screen pass.
50-yard screen pass towards the end.
And they killed him on that. Yeah. So I'm not disagreeing that the pass rush needs to be upgraded. And you make a good point. I mean, Tyson Alualu and Avery Jones do not play the same position. They're both defensive linemen. They may even be defensive tackles most of the time, but it's not the same position. So Avery Jones and Roy Miller are playing one spot, whereas Alualu is playing a completely different deal.
I mean, I thought Roy played okay today.
Roy was okay today, too.
I mean, he had that one where he forced the fumble that was overturned, remember?
Right.
I mean, that was early in the game.
I'd say he got a sack on the play.
Yeah, right. So, I mean,
Alualu had
he's a strong man in the middle. He's a nose tackle. He's not a super – that's not a superstar position.
Right, his job. But, look, nobody on the D-line. When Doug Martin and Charles Sims dominate the game like they
did.
That's
right.
Nobody, I think, in the front seven played particularly
and
well.
And they'll be the first to tell you that tomorrow when they're in that locker room and answering questions. Hey, we didn't stop the run. They had 180-plus rushing yards. That's not a good day at all for a front seven of a defense.
All right, let's go back to the phone lines. Thank you for the call, Todd. Let's go to Jeff on the south side next up on the Scoreboard Show. Hi, Jeff. How are you?
I'm doing great, Mike. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
You know, yeah, you're exactly right. The whole situation today was on the linebackers. You know, why is J.T. Thomas not still on the Jaguars? I mean, you know, we cut Daryl Smith a few years ago. Now, I know he's not a solution anymore, but J.T. Thomas, I mean, we're $40 million under the salary cap. How much couldn't we have found 2 or 3 more players out there that could have at least filled in so we didn't have a rookie starting? And then also, why is Corey Grant getting the ball there at that particular point when on that punt or that kickoff return right before that fumble, if you noticed, he just about fumbled on the kickoff return. So those are my two concerns.
I'll
take all the answers, comments off the air.
Appreciate it. We thought at the time, we said as much, that it was T.J. Yeldon dealing with the groin, but Gus said after the game that they just had a package of plays for him.
Which there was the one play similar to that where he broke free on an outside run, right? Wasn't that a sweep as well, kind of similar play?
I believe
play?
It was, yeah. That's mostly what they use him on.
Which is the same kind of idea with that play. They just happened to hit him in the backfield, and he fumbled the ball.
Yeah, he needs to secure that football. There's no excuse.
No doubt.
Look, guys, he almost fumble on the kickoff. I mean, if you bench everybody who makes any mistake, you're not going to have anyone to play, right? I mean, that's the bottom line. So – it wasn't like they were trying to feature Corey Grant. They're trying to mix him in there. He made a bad play. He didn't hang on to the football and allowed Levante David to punch it out. I don't know if it was such a quick developing thing. David was in there. I wouldn't be surprised if some of the blame is going to go on the offensive line for not getting any body on Levante David. He looked like he shot right in there untouched.
You know, last week it's funny. Well, it's not funny, but the last week it was, T.J. Yeldon had all the carries. We got all these different running backs. Use them different ways. Now you're using them different ways. Wait a minute. Why is he running the ball? He fumbles all the time. So can't have it both
Look,
ways.
And I understand, though. Corey Grant's pretty far down the depth chart, and maybe they wouldn't have had as many – they didn't have a ton of touches for him anyway, but
right.
Pierce gets hurt. I mean, Toby Gerhart hasn't – run for a significant gain that you can remember this year. He hasn't played that much, but you know, you've got what you have. You wish you had Denard Robinson. He would be getting those touches, and it's not an excuse. I'm just saying that's the reality. They don't have him in there, and there you have it. All right, 800-355-NFL1. Why don't we take a timeout?
Oh, yes, let's take
we
a
got
time
plenty
out.
More time to go.
We got a lot of time left of the Scoreboard Show. Phone lines are open, 355-NFL1. 355-6351. Kiss Game Day parking hassles goodbye with the JTA Stadium Shuttle. 5 convenient park and ride locations to choose from for Jags games with tickets starting at just $7. Visit JTAFLA.com for more information. More of your calls after this. It's the Scoreboard Show on Jaguars Radio.
The Jaguars Scoreboard Show, continues right now.
Final score, 38-31, Buccaneers over the Jags down in Tampa in Week 5. Jags are now 1-4. J.P. Shadrick, Mike Dempsey, your phone calls, 355-NFL1, 355-6351. Some angry Jags fans.
Yeah, let me just point out one tweet I got here from iStampin. This is Kara Golby on Twitter. She said, get rid of 89. He's slow, can't catch the ball. Bortles kept throwing to him. Why? That part.
She means Mercedes Lewis.
Mercedes Lewis, but the part about that's you know, we got a tweet about why didn't we consider Bortles for player of the game? And to me, yeah, if you just look at the final numbers, outstanding, right? 4 touchdowns, career high, threw for over 300 yards. But it's those plays that even when he's completing the ball, sometimes if he's not going to the right guy, you got to hold that against the quarterback. He went to Mercedes, I believe it was Mercedes, on consecutive plays in the red zone, JP. One, if you go back and watch it, Julius Thomas is going to walk in the end zone. There's no one within 5 yards of him, and Blake just doesn't see him, and he locks in on Mercedes. And then almost the very next play, it may have been the next play, same thing with Allen Robinson on the other side. And he tries to force it to Mercedes in the back of the end zone. And, you know, those are the kind of plays that they're missed opportunities, you know. And, you know, I don't know if Blake's locking in on Mercedes particularly, trying to get him going, but – you got to see the field. You got to be able to see the field. And, you know, at times I think he has locked in on his primary receiver. You know, we've seen it a little bit this year with Allen Robinson in some games where he's forced it in there. Look, I get it. He's a second-year quarterback, okay? But, you know, it doesn't matter. He is the quarterback. You're the quarterback, and you got to be judged with everyone else, all the other quarterbacks in the league.
First year, eighth year, 19th year, you're the
That's
quarterback.
Right. You got to play good football.
NFL and, football.
You know, and unfortunately for Blake, this is a team that doesn't have a lot of margin for error, right? And for the rest of the team. So their mistakes stand out because, quite frankly, at times they just don't have enough to overcome them, such as today. And that's what got them in part. Let's get Mike in Arlington next up, 800-355-NFL1. Hello, Mike. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are y'all guys?
Okay.
Well, I'm not doing well.
I know.
Yeah.
We get
Every
it.
Weekend,
we get it.
It's,
we get it.
It's something different to lose. One week you lose by the pass. Next week, you lose by the combination defense and next weekend it's another combination where you lose by. And then at the end of the game, the coaches come in and talk to Lagerman in the locker room, and it always ends with something towards the fans. We're going to do better, fans. They're selling snake oil to us. It's been 3 or 4 years, and we're still on the same. They're still selling snake oil to us. We're fans. We want to see a team. My coach doesn't have an identity. He's supposed to be a defensive coordinator. Jaguars defense haven't been up to par since he's been here. Injuries, yes, but still. A real coach, you're going to see that identity of the head coach. We don't have that identity.
All right, Mike.
Regardless of how many injuries we have, this team, man, I'm just telling you, I'm just tired of this snake oil salesman selling this Jaguar franchise to us people, man. I take my comments off.
All right, thank you. Thank you, Mike, for the call. Look, I'm not going to try, you know, I thought Gus was less, hey, we're going to learn from this attitude today than he has been, but I'm not going to, you know, fans are frustrated, and when you hear if you hear something you don't want to hear, or you don't hear what you want to hear, I get it. I'm not going to, you know, tell Mike. Although I'll say this. I mean, I think they're genuinely disappointed that they didn't perform better for the fans. 10,000 or however many Jaguar fans were down there in Raymond James Stadium. And for him, if he didn't acknowledge it and say, hey, you know what, we understand what the fans are going through because we're putting them through it, that's how I interpreted the comments, then, you know, I think he can't win either way on that score.
I don't think that's that was the post-game interview. That part of the post-game interview had no bearing to me whatsoever. I mean, it's fine.
You know what?
He's damned if he does, damned if he doesn't.
I agree with
fans.
That.
Guess what? You just lost 38-31 to the Bucks. They're going to be mad no matter what you say about him.
I agree with that. Let's go, Mike. Thank you for the call. Let's go to Lucas on his way back from Tampa right now. What's up, Lucas?
Hey, fellas, on my way back from the game. The run defense, you know, Vic Ketchman used to say, ask Vic, he used to say, you got to run the ball and you got to stop the run. And, you know, Jags, you know, does pride themselves. They talk a lot about the run defense. That's supposed to be the strong point. But from out there watching, didn't seem like they were very successful stopping the run. Also, you know, I know y'all say a lot of people ask for other running backs to get carried, but we all understand T.J. Yeldon compared to Corey Grant. You know, like, give it to the second-round pick. Like, stop messing around with this undrafted guy. So, you know, I'll just take y'all's comments as far as running the ball and stopping the run off the air.
I think you always – that's football. Yeah. That's a large part of football. Again – change of pace. I mean, you could say the same thing about Denard Robinson. Give it to the second round pick, not the fifth round pick. I mean, here's what Corey Grant has: speed that T.J. Yeldon simply doesn't have. He's got more speed than most guys on the football team. So you're trying to mix in a different look, a different element. You could say to the Bucs today, how are you going to go away from Doug Martin?
Why would
Charles Sims be on the field? Because other guys need to make plays too. This is the National Football League. You just don't have one guy. That he's the only one. Rare is the guy who can handle that kind of workload and be the only guy. I'm not saying that TJ shouldn't be the workhorse. He should, but he's going to come out at times. There are going to be times he comes out of the game, and when he comes out and Denard's hurt and Pierce has gone out and Toby Gerhardt's been ineffective, guess what? Corey Grant's going to get the next look. I get it. You know, he's not your best option. When your best option, you lose because your best option had a big role in dropping a football there. It's going to be frustrating. But, yeah, you do. They haven't done a good job, despite the fact that he got 100 yards last week, JP. This offensive line has not done a good job opening up running lanes this year. And I'm quite frankly pretty surprised at that. With Wisniewski, even with Cannon for Linder, he's a big road grader, and Parnell, right? I would think they'd be able to run behind that trio, and they simply haven't had enough luck. Most of those 6 to 8 yard runs are TJ Yeldon making two or three guys miss and just quick feet that allowed him to make something out of not much.
There was a play I remember the commentary on today by Jeff Lagerman where it was a run to the right by Yeldon, and the left guard Beatles pulled to go around to the right side and apparently didn't block anybody, missed a guy, Yeldon made the guy miss anyway and still got positive yards out of it.
Right.
So that's going to be a position that's it's always been under the microscope anyway the last few games, but certainly again this week. And it's all part of that scheme up front. The run blocking has to improve, no doubt.
Let's get James in Orange Park up next here on the Scoreboard Show. Hello, James.
Hey, guys. Another tough loss. My only question is, and I'll take your comments off the air, I think it's time to call a spade a spade. We're a terrible team. We have no identity. The team's expectations are very vague to me. Gus Bradley may be saying different things in private, but I've never heard him say the word win. And we just lost to the Bucks, and we're surprised? I'm surprised we're surprised. How can we expect to beat anybody? This team's terrible. They're atrocious. And we've protected Bortles with, well, he's only a second-year quarterback now. Well, wasn't Winston in Tallahassee last year? He led his team to 38 points. So it's frustrating because I keep going back. I pour my money in. But, you know, I don't know about the snake oil thing, but boy, oh boy, we're not stupid out here. This team stinks, and we want to change. I'll take it off the air.
Well, that's fair. I mean, that's fair. The 1-4 is 1-4, man.
They're 1-4, and I understand the process. Trust me, we feel like we need to repeat it because if you say something, people say, well, wait a minute, they ripped the roster down to nothing, right? If you say, here's what the record was the last couple of years. But that's their choice. They ripped the roster down to nothing. That was what they felt was the best way to go. But the bottom line, JP, is now Gus Bradley is 8-29 as a head coach of the Jacksonville Jaguars, and that does stink as a record. Whether or not there's talent on the team doesn't really matter in the end when it comes to the performance on the field. Great, they put up some numbers in different areas, different weeks. The numbers that we're most concerned with are one win and four losses. So that's what, look, I get it. I mean, their record stinks, let's put it that way, you know, and based on recent returns, I don't know how you could expect them to, it doesn't mean they won't win another game, but I don't know how you could go into a game expecting them to win any game at this point. The way they're playing.
You're right. No, not the way they're playing right now, because it's always one thing or another. Whether is it scheme? Is it execution? Is it personnel injured? Is it all that combined, different parts, different weeks contributing to the – well, it doesn't matter at the end.
Right.
Because at the end, it's a big L. And today it was a 38-31 L for the Jaguars in Tampa. Phone lines are open, 355-NFL1, 355-6351. More on the Scoreboard Show in a moment on Jaguars Radio.
The Jaguars Scoreboard Show, continues right now.
Phone lines open, 355-NFL1, 355-6351. JP Shadrick, Mike Dempsey, Scoreboard Show continues. The injury report is presented by Baptist Health System, changing healthcare for good. Three main ones we heard today. Yeldon with a little bit of a groin issue. Bernard Pierce with a hamstring, and House with a hip injury. Devon House, the defensive back. No official word anything, of course, from the team after the game today. We'll hear more tomorrow. Gus Bradley normally speaks about 1 o'clock, and I'm sure he will tomorrow as well. We'll hear more injury news coming up then. In the meantime, though, well, fans are trying to vent tonight after the 38-31 loss to the Buccaneers.
That's what we do. That's what we allow them to do. Well, usually, we prefer them to celebrate, but they don't have anything really to do that.
We're playing Frazier Crane tonight. We're listening.
We are listening. Good one. Let's go to Robbie in Green Cove up next. Hello, Robbie. Robbie?
Robbie's... Oh,
I guess Robbie's gone. Oh, let's go to...
he's had enough.
Pat on the west side. Hello, Pat.
Hey, guys. How are y'all doing today, man? What a terrible loss. But I'd like to say these people calling in about Gus. Gus don't need to go nowhere. Gus isn't the problem. He don't throw the ball. He don't catch them. You could bring Belichick in for a while. It wouldn't be no different. I admit there's got to be changes down the road. Going to have to see how it plays out. But I would like to say this, that Dave, he gave birth to this. He went out and got two Jimmys. He went out and got two Joes. He even brought in Big Larry, but he brought in a whole bunch of little Moes. And these little Moes, they don't need to start playing tomorrow to try to prove me wrong about them and Dave. But what they need to start doing is start playing to prove Dave right. I mean, the guy has gave them a chance in a lifetime. And I'm going to tell you, if they started cutting players tomorrow, the players they would cut, there's no other teams would pick them up. So they need to get this thing right in play. And I do believe they can win. I don't know how long before it will be, but they should be ashamed of themselves. There's some of them that need to lay their tweeter and their jigger and everything down and quit worrying about wanting to get through a game or get off and get to what their money's bought them now. Concentrate on what they were hired to do. Get that right, and then all the other will take its place and fit in right. Thank you all for taking me on there. Thank you so much.
I thought that was Dr. Seuss for a second.
I know
all the rhymes.
One fish, two fish, red fish. Pat's of the opinion that the talent procurement is what's failing them. That they brought in the few Jimmys and Joes, as you said, but there's too many little Moes out there, JP, and the little Moes are not winning football games for
That's
the Jacksonville
true.
Jaguars.
Take a timeout. We'll come back in a moment. Final segment of the Scoreboard Show. Jags fall. 38-31. Buccaneers a winner. It's the Scoreboard Show on Jaguars Radio.
The Jaguars Scoreboard Show continues right now.
Phone lines open, 355-NFL-1, 355-6351. A couple more segments left in the Scoreboard Show. J.P. Shadrick, Mike Dempsey after the Jags fall in Tampa, 38-31. Jaguars are 1-4. It seems like a different issue each week.
Yeah.
This week it was run defense.
Right, or several issues, but, yeah, it seems like one primary thing, and it's a moving target.
Yeah.
Turnovers were, yeah, and that's a killer, too. I'm glad you pointed that out, J.P., because much like last week, right? I mean, in fact, last week, the Jags win the turnover battle, and it was penalties, last week.
That's right.
They cut way down on the penalties, even though they had a couple of mental errors today, without question. That's not good. And a couple, I think, were in offsetting situations, so they didn't really count towards the total. But, yeah, run defense was the primary culprit. You know, somebody pointed out on Twitter again, get off Blake. It's the defense's fault. Look, we're going to sit here, and we're going to try to honestly critique everyone, good and bad. We said, hey, Blake, numbers, fantastic. Congratulations, 4 touchdown passes. He did a lot of good things.
Yeah.
He did a lot of good things, but he missed some opportunities out there as well. And you'd have to recognize that. If we just say, well, they scored 31 points, they should win that game. Well, the offense also gave up 7 points in the game. And, yes, the defense is the primary culprit, the run defense in particular, or the front 7 for not stopping, because it wasn't just the running game. It was the short passing game to the backs as well. But that's the primary culprit. But it's never as simple as just one thing. Heck, look, Jason Myers, kickoff out of bounds. They're lucky. There are only 36 seconds left in the
half.
That's
right, yep.
You go down and score, and you set up Tampa Bay at the 40-yard line, and you give up the long punt return. So there's some special teams miscues in there.
And if it was a quarterback that didn't throw 4 picks a week before, they might have gone for the end zones there instead of taking a knee. You know?
Exactly. Right. They figured, right, you know what, we got the lead. Let's not do anything crazy.
They get
crazy
the ball to start the half. Let's not get crazy.
Exactly. All right, so let's get a couple calls in here before we get out of here at 800-355-NFL-1. Kelvin in Bartram Springs is up next. Hello, Kelvin.
Yeah, hey, guys, how are you?
What's
all
up?
All right.
Yeah, hey, listen, I'm going to have to put the onus of this squarely on the shoulders of the head coach, Gus Bradley, because the head coach is responsible for creating a winning culture. We don't have a winning culture in that locker room. Just a few weeks ago, we watched Mike Tomlin. When Scobie missed those 2 field goals, you could tell by the expression on his face that he was going to take action. Myers misses 2 field goals, and Bradley says in the media that he's going to stand by him. And even today, when he kicked the ball out of bounds, he was there to pat him on the butt. And so there is no accountability, and I disagree with you guys. You can find other guys out there. You can start replacing guys. You don't have to replace all 53. You just have to replace 2 that you can make an example of until that message starts to permeate the locker room. But we don't have a winning culture here, and I'm not sure Gus Bradley knows how to create one.
Okay.
Hey, I mean, the outcome is what it is.
Right. I mean, he hasn't proven he knows how to create one, that's for sure.
Right. He's doing what he thinks has been a winning culture in the past by doing things that we're done in Seattle.
And
a lot
it hasn't
of ways.
Gotten winning results here.
Because guess what? It comes back down to players at the end of the day too, right?
Somewhat, but I think as, you know.
So it's chicken and egg thing, right?
Look, it's not one or the other. It's everything. When you go 8-29, it can't just be one thing. It's not that simple. And the mental errors, as Jeff Lagerman and Tony Boselli will tell you on the game broadcast, that does go on the coaching staff. And Gus said, this is why I think he was so frustrated after the game. And for him, the first thing he said, The first thing he did, actually, was give a big sigh, right?
Right, yeah.
And then the first words out of his mouth were, this one is painful. And he said, you know, a variety of errors, and he went on to point out missed tackles, giving up explosive plays, over 28 yards per punt return on average, allowed lining up wrong, mental errors. And Blake Bortleson came on and said, the coaching staff stressed the mental errors to us this week. All week long was a big point of emphasis. And I don't know. What more do you do?
What else can he do, right?
You can't go now, but it's not all – you know, it's so – some of that's on Gus and the coaching staff. Some of it's on the players for not executing. Bottom line is it's not good enough. I don't believe in just cutting a guy to make an example of him, but I said on the record I would have brought in guys – and had a little kicking competition this week. And if you saw somebody that really stood out to you, I would have considered making that move. And I understand he's got a big leg and all that. And he, for the most part, he kicked well today, with the exception of kicking the ball out of bounds on the kickoff. But, you know, yeah, you can churn the bottom of the roster. I don't know if that's going to solve, you know, when you're giving up all you did to running backs, for instance, today. Who are you going to cut that is going to be significant enough to make an example to catch anyone's attention that's not going to end up hurting you, right? Look what they did, JP. Who could they have used today? Jeremiah George, right? They cut him because they needed to make room for Tony Washington on the active roster because Marquise Lee wasn't healthy.
Hurt.
Here's a guy you think, all right, Jeremiah George, right? He's towards the end of the roster. You think they could have used him today in place of Paul Posluszny?
Maybe so.
Probably sure. So. You know, he's more of an inside backer, I think, than Thurston Armbrister is. So, I mean, could they cut a guy or two? I don't know if it's going to have much of an effect in the end. You know, to scare guys into performing better. I mean, I think that's kind of what you're leaning towards. I don't have all the answers. Maybe you're right. Maybe it would have an effect. Maybe you should cut somebody. But I think if you don't feel like you've got a guy who's at least comparable to that player talent-wise, then aren't you just hurting yourself more in the long run? That's kind of where I'm at on it. You know, I don't have the answer. I wish there was a simple solution. It was ABC and just do these things and everything would be fixed.
If we had those answers, we'd be working over
it. I mean, I think everyone who calls in and says, this isn't right, this isn't right, this isn't right, they're all probably partially correct in some way. And some people think one area is more important than the other and it's all on this or it's all on that. And I just don't think it's all on any one thing. Nothing is satisfactory. When you're 1-4 and now you are 8-29 in this 2-plus-year period, it's not – and I understand the rebuild. I get it and everything that came. But now it's supposed to be here. The build is done. The building is over. Time to win. This is not a game. This is not the New England Patriots you played. You played the worst team in the league from last year. And Jameis Winston wasn't the big factor today. He was dumping it off. It wasn't like Jameis Winston was the big addition and he lit you up for 400 yards passing. He just dumped it down to running backs all day.
Yeah, they were scared of Jameis Winston today. They run the ball.
You're exactly right. They played a controlled game to not allow their own quarterback to beat them today. And he didn't beat the Jags. He really didn't. It was the running backs he dumped it down to that beat him, and the defense that didn't stop those guys. He made a couple plays. Certainly he made a couple of plays out there, but he only threw it 19 times today, and he got a lot of catch and run out of those backs on simple passes that almost any quarterback could complete. So, you know, look, I'm not saying hooray for anybody on the Jacksonville Jaguars. They need to do better. They need to do better quickly, but it feels like we're saying that every week right now.
Well, because we are.
I know, right? So, yeah. I mean, I just like what's different, what's going to change. You know, I don't want to sit here and say, well, they need to – backs against the wall. Their backs have been against the wall.
Yeah.
You know, it's no longer – forget must win. Now you just need a win just for sanity's sake. You know, I don't think this team is going to contend this year. I'm going to be quite frank with you. Could it mathematically? Sure, there's a lot of games left. Does this club that springs leaks in different areas week in, week out look like they're all of a sudden going to put it together all at once? To me, it doesn't. Maybe they'll surprise me, but it would be a surprise.
It would be a surprise because they haven't proven otherwise
right, as
of yet. We'll take our final timeout on the Scoreboard Show. If you don't get in, the fifth quarter with T-Wig and Hacker is coming up next on 1010XL. This is the Scoreboard Show on Jaguars Radio.
The Jaguars Scoreboard Show continues right now.
Final moments of the Scoreboard Show on Jaguars Radio. JP Shadrick, Mike Dempsey. This season, when the Jags kick a field goal of 40 yards or more, registered fans will score a free medium sub with the purchase of a sub, chips, and drink. To register, go to jaguars.com/firehousesubs. Well, today the Jaguars had, what do they have today? Myers with a 31-yard field goal. That's it, right? That's all he had today. It was a 31-yarder in the third quarter, right?
That's it.
Crazy.
Four touchdowns. Yeah. You're absolutely right.
So no, everybody's
all
going
hungry.
Starving. No
he
firehouse.
He didn't miss any, though. They didn't have any opportunities to kick the longer ones.
Who said you're saying he's going to miss them now?
No.
Those
I'm saying is that's the cause of you going hungry. Not Jason Myers is not the cause
relax,
of you going hungry today.
Relax. 38-31. The final, the Buccaneers over the Jags. All right. So this is going to be a long week. We all know that. Just the fans and the hot seat's going to turn on and all that's going to happen. But either way, next Sunday, the Houston Texans come here to Everbank Field, and the Jaguars haven't been home in a long time, and they won't be home in a long time after this game, too. And it's a game the Jaguars have to have. Somehow, some way, you got to get this game, right?
I mean, we
say that every week.
Right. But, I mean, and it's I guess it's no less true, but it just feels like with the opportunities squandered with the last couple weeks, even if you get this one, you're just kind of – okay, you know, we want them to win. It's better to win than not to win. I just feel like, boy, after the Colts wriggled off the hook 3 weeks in a row and they're 3-0 in the division, unless something catastrophic happens to that football team. I think Buffalo hung on to beat Tennessee today, right?
I believe so, yes.
So you got that going for you. You're tied for second in the division right now with one win.
It's deeper than that. I mean, it's more than just the division. It's inside the walls of that locker room this week.
You need winning to get this negative mindset out of it's going to start to seep in. How can it not? Right?
Yeah.
You got to get results. If you all this hard work, when you don't see the results pay off after a certain period of time, I think the players are going to start to question: are we doing things, you know, the right way? I think they've stood behind this coaching staff pretty strongly up until this point in time, but they've got to be sick and tired of it. I'm sure they are, you know, and I'm sure if they knew, if anybody knew exactly what the answer was, they would do it. Why wouldn't they do it? But, you know, it seems to be every week there's a different answer required for what's going wrong.
Well, there you have it. That's the scoreboard show for this evening. 38-31, the final. Buccaneers are now 2-3. The Jaguars fall to 1-4. Stick around on 1010XL, the fifth quarter show with T-Wig and Hacker is coming up, 641-1010. We'll take more of your calls and reaction after the Jags fall in Tampa. For Mike Dempsey, Tony Smith, Linda Fortunato, and everyone involved, thanks for the calls. This is J.P. Shadrick. We'll see you next week. Jaguars and Texans coming up here at Everbank Field. This is the Scoreboard Show on Jaguars Radio.